You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
On today's TikTok-isode, I will be covering Megan John's case.
Hi, my name is Erin from the Sipping on Some Crime podcast, and I would like to take a moment to tell you about an unsolved murder in Texas and a sister and investigator's determination to solve it. Megan Johns was described by detectives after they interviewed her family, her coworkers, and her friends as one of those rarest of people, generous and kind. Megan was a secretary for Smith, Barney, and Shearson Incorporated in Las Colinas, Texas. She had recently moved from Dallas to Irving and had been living in her Irving apartment for about 3 months in October of 1994. Megan was celebrating 5 years of sobriety. She had a large circle of friends from working the Narcotics Anonymous program. She was very involved in helping others work towards sobriety and keep their sobriety. Megan spent her free time volunteering at an emergency shelter in Dallas that focused with homeless youth and adults. Megan was constantly finding ways to help and work within her community. Sergeant Rowan, who was an investigator from the very beginning of Megan's case, said, quote, "This was a beautiful young girl who was trying to help people and loved kids. She had cleaned up her act, but I think her one mistake, in my opinion, was she was still taking in all these high-risk people, and she still thought she could help all these people. Sometimes you can't help people," unquote. Something about Megan was she was always reliable, especially as an employee. So when she didn't show up for work on October 4th, 1994, her employer became concerned. Her employer would reach out to Megan's apartment complex and ask them to please go check on Megan. An employee at the Apple Apartments would go knock on Megan's door, and when there wasn't an answer, they would go around to the back and shimmy open her back patio door. And there they would find Megan lying lifeless on her living room floor. When investigators arrived, there was obvious signs of struggle in Megan's apartment. They were able to determine that Megan had been stabbed and suffered blunt force trauma. Her purse and its belongings were scattered across the living room floor as if someone was looking for something specific. Investigators would find traces of blood leading up to the railing to Megan's bedroom and a partial palm print. Megan's bedroom drawers and cabinets lie open and rifled through, and a VCR and jewelry would be the only items noted missing. Investigators are positive that Megan knew her killer based on a few facts. The fact that she was in her pajamas, her robe, quite comfortable, and the fact that there was no forced entry. Investigators are convinced Megan let this person into her apartment because she trusted them. Investigators believe this person or persons was looking for quick money for a fix. Investigators were able to narrow their pool of suspects down to 4 people. However, they were never able to find enough evidence to move forward charging either one of those suspects. The palm print is now entered in the system, but unfortunately, even as today, has not been matched. Megan's little sister Bridget was just 9 when her sister was murdered. Despite being so young, she still holds precious memories. In 2006, when Bridget turned 21, she decided to take Megan's case into her own hands, and she would reach out to the Irving Police Department asking to meet with them, wondering why her sister's case had been forgotten. What Bridget learned that day after meeting with Tom Rowan, the lead investigator on Megan's case, was that her sister's case was far from forgotten. Rowan would pull out a picture from his wallet that he had been carrying around for 12 years. A picture of Megan. He showed Bridget that Megan is always on his mind, and they were not giving up until they found her killer. Bridget left the police department that day, feeling confident that investigators were doing everything they could to bring Megan justice. Megan has some amazing people in her corner. Her sister, investigators, and a close friend, Kelly, who fondly looks back at her wedding photos and sees Megan standing next to her. Kelly and Megan met in high school and had a close friendship throughout the years. Kelly, a retired nurse in 2019, also decided to reach out to the Irving Police Department to make sure that Megan's case wasn't forgotten. She had seen throughout the years as cases get lost in the shuffle, and she was not about to let that happen to Megan. Kelly was assured by the Irving PD that they were doing everything Megan's case, and Kelly decided the next best thing to do was to create an online group focused on Megan's case. Her hopes were to gather more information about who or why someone would do this to Megan. Kelly says she understands that knowing with the passage of time that a conviction may be hard to get. But at this point, those that love Megan, they just want answers as to why or who someone would do this to Megan, who would give you anything you needed. On the 29th anniversary of Megan's death, the Irving Police Department made a video about her case, hoping to generate more tips and leads. I'll be linking that on the comment section below, as well as on my Sipping on Some Crime webpage. Please go check out that video and share it. The way forward with Megan's case is to keep sharing her face and her story in hopes of putting pressure on those responsible for her murder, letting them know that Megan is not forgotten. Thank you for taking the time to get to know Megan today. And don't forget, every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case.